Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also the four exciting and talented players of the game who are going to compete this week. We welcome back one of our most popular and talented players, and that is Paul Merton. We welcome one of our oldest among our original players, and that is Clement Freud. We welcome back two who have not played it quite so frequently, but they're equally talented, and that is Graham Norton and Fred McCauley. And will you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Jane Gibson, who's going to help me keep a score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds is up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the King's Theatre in the wonderful cultural city of Glasgow. And we're part of Music Live in this great city. And before us, we have an exciting, dynamic Glaswegian audience. Who better to start the show in Glasgow? Fred McCauley. Fred, talk something about breeding porcupines. Well, there's nothing like starting off on an impossible subject. Talk on the subject if you can, Fred, starting now.
I have to confess I'm going to be speaking from a position of complete and utter ignorance because I don't know that much about breeding porcupines.
Graham Norton, challenge.
The word just seemed longer, as you say. Yes.
So, Graham, you have a correct challenge. You have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of breeding porcupines. There are 51 seconds available starting now.
A lot of women I know are very jealous of porcupines because for the lady porcupine, childbirth is practically painless compared to the horror of conception. They are known as romantic little beasts. I know this because I read a book once. Honestly, that's true. However, though in the love sort of situation, confusion can arise as a partner whispers, "I'm stuck on you, babe," into the ear. What do they mean? Is it a sweet nothing or a statement of fact?
Clement Freud is jealous. A well-deserved round of applause for your contribution on that impossible subject. But I have to tell you that Clement Freud has got in with only 3 seconds to go. And he takes over the subject of breeding porcupines 3 seconds ago, starting now.
And the woman said, if you don't take those breeding porcupines.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point for doing so, and this occasion was Clement Freud, so he's in the lead at the end of the round. Clement, it's your turn to begin, and the subject we have here, very topical, tartan. So talk on the subject of tartan in 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
Sadly, there is no Freud tartan, not even a Mac or O, but...
Paul Merton, you challenged.
Sort of hesitation.
A sort of, yes, more than, but a correct challenge, a point to you for a correct challenge. You have 52 seconds. Tell us something about tartan, Paul, starting now.
It's a shame that Clement says there is no Freud tartan, because my memory of going up to the Edinburgh Festival is no matter what name an American tourist has...
Clement.
Deviation.
Why?
I'm not an American tourist.
I wasn't suggesting you were.
Clement, you're not an American tourist, and he wasn't suggesting you were. I think the audience enjoyed your interjection there, so we give you a bonus point for that. But as Paul was not deviating, he gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject. 43 seconds available. Tartan with you, Paul, starting now.
Hello, I'm from Oklahoma, and my name is Guggenheim. And the people in the tartan shop say, we've got the McGuggenheim tartan.
Clement.
Guggenheim, McGuggenheim, what's your problem?
So, Paul, an incorrect challenge, 35 seconds, on tartan starting now.
The McGuggenheims of...
Fred, your challenge.
But in fairness...
Yes, sure.
No, he said... Sure. No, it wasn't
I buzzed
wrong.
Before the S.
No, it was Fred actually challenged, but... No, he did. He put the S on. You challenged before the S, but that is too keen. So, he did say McGuggenheim.
At that point, I'd only said McGuggen.
So, Paul, you have another point for an incorrect challenge. You have 32.
I begged it. I didn't buzz in at all.
Your light came on.
Well, that be that as
Are
it may.
Sure? No, it wasn't. It was your light. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
33 seconds with you, Paul Tartan, starting now.
Well, this is rather embarrassing as I've explored everything I know about Tartan, so I'm quite happy to give up this subject any particular...
And Graham, you challenged.
Charity. I'll just take it. I'm not proud.
Paul, you didn't actually hesitate, deviate, or repeat anything. Do you wish to give it up or not?
No.
Right. Right, Graham, give him a bonus point. Paul, it was an incorrect challenge. You have another point, and you have 26 seconds. Tartan, starting now.
How can I best describe tartan? It's a kind of pattern.
Fred, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed, and what a statement. Tartan is with you, Fred. Right, let's hear a Scotsman on tartan. 21 seconds, starting now.
Well, you know that there are many different types of tartan. There's Anderson, Macbeth, McTavish, McAndrew, Macaulay... Stuart, of course. Ancient hunting.
Clement, challenge.
Repetitive, of course.
Yes. Clement, you have a point for that. You have 11 seconds on tartan starting now.
I think perhaps my favourite tartan is Bakewell tartan cream, but apricot tartan strawberries is another of which I'm very fond indeed. On...
Clement Freud was speaking then as the whistle died away. Jane Gibson, who sits beside me, blows the whistle, and sometimes she has difficulty summing up enough wind to get the pee and the whistle moving at pace. So try just again to give it power, Jane. Go on. We'd love to hear a really powerful one. Yes! And Paul Merton, please take the next round. Vital statistics. Would you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
There were not enough lifeboats on the Titanic. This is a very vital statistic. It mattered a great deal to the people who were on this ship as it set sail from Southampton via Cork to New York. They were there walking around on the promenade deck saying, what a beautiful creation this vessel is. How wonderful it is. What's that iceberg doing there? And then having to rush all around while senior officers pointed the various boats that were hanging over the side, and unfortunately the cry was women and children first. I think this is, I don't know where this came from. Who came up with the idea of them first?
Fred, you challenge first, yes. Hesitation, we interpret that as. Fred, you have 22 seconds. Tell us something about vital statistics, starting now.
Well, as Paul was saying, that was a vital statistic, but the expression is used mainly to describe the inches around a woman's bust or waist or hips, and I don't think that's particularly vital at all. It's hardly likely to make a difference to a life or death situation if your bust happens to be large.
Oh, yes, Graham.
Two busts.
And me a leg man.
I know. Graham got in first. And 3 seconds are available, Graham, on vital statistics starting now.
I love statistics. It's with a heavy set.
Graham Norton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. Fred Macaulay, your turn to begin. The subject, the new rock and roll. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, the expression rock and roll is usually put together with sex and drugs, so the new rock and roll must be rugby. Because the former England captain seems to spend most of his time
Paul, you challenged me.
Thank you, Paul.
That came from a libel lawyer, that challenge. Hesitation.
Yes, we get that hesitation. 46 seconds, Paul. The new rock and roll, starting now.
A few years ago, stand-up comedy was described as the new rock and roll, and it is often attributed to Janet Street Porter, but it was in fact from the American magazine Rolling Stone that noted that in the 1980s, comedians like Steve Martin and Robin Williams were appearing in big venues, 10,000 seaters, and this is why comedy came to become the new rock and roll. Because
Graham Norton, new chance.
A comedy thing happening again.
Two comedies, yes. Well, listen, Graham, and very sporting, Paul. 24 seconds. The new rock and roll with Graham starting now.
The new rock and roll must not be rock and roll, hence the expression. Therefore, perhaps the new rock and roll is opera.
Paul, you've challenged.
I was challenged so we could hear this rubbish. Oh, it's been informative.
Yeah,
the new rock and roll is not the new rock and roll, because otherwise it's the rock and roll, it wouldn't be the new... What's...
He wasn't technically deviating from the subject.
Thank you.
But we did enjoy your challenge.
Thank you,
I'll give
Nicholas.
You a bonus point for that, Paul. And you were interrupted, Graham, so you get a point for that. And you keep going. 16 seconds still available. The new rock and roll starting now.
Opera is the new rock and roll, in my opinion. Now Cher can appear in La Boheme, and instead of singing about her tiny hand being frozen, she can tell us that her large bosom is plastic. I love that woman to the very core of her strange...
Right, Graham Norton speaking then as the whistle went. He's moved forward. He's now equal with Clement Freud in second place behind our leader, Paul Merton. Fred McCauley is trailing a little and Clement begins the next round. And the subject is nuts in May. Oh, what a delightful thought. Talk on the subject, Clement, 60 seconds if you want to, starting now.
There is a song which goes, here we go gathering nuts in May, nuts in May, nuts in May, nuts in May, nuts in May.
Small challenge.
Give the record player a kick.
I mean, I do agree there must come a point where you can repeat the subject on the card, but if you repeat it endlessly, I mean, it's a non-event as a show, isn't it, really? And you did it five times then, Clement.
No, I repeated it four times.
I think that... I will have to say that if no points are going to be scored on that, but if anybody goes speaks a word for more than four occasions like that, it will be repetition, even if it's on the card. Right, no points scored.
A new rule after 32 years.
I don't know. Nuts in May, still with you, Clement. No points scored or lost. 49 seconds, starting now.
Nuts is a word in common usage to describe people who are not quite all there, those who are perhaps one song short of an I Stedford. Or lunatic asylums used to have not only screws and bolts, but also nuts. And in May, which was not at all a bad year in which to go to such an institution...
Paul, you've challenged.
In May, which was not such a bad year...
Yes.
Deviation.
May, deviation. May was a month, not a year.
Oh, really?
Mm. 24 seconds. For you, Paul, with a correct challenge on Nuts in May, starting now.
I used to go out with a girl called May, and she was lovely, and every Friday night we'd go down the pub, have a few drinks, and I'd give her a bag of peanuts. And I'd say, oh, May, there's some nuts. And May would always say, oh, how lovely, nuts for me, nuts in May. I said, yes, absolutely, nuts in May, that's twice, nuts in May, that's three, nuts in May,
and,
four.
Fred McCauley's challenge.
Picky, but he repeated that.
I think that's picky. I think that's good listening. So, Fred, correct challenge. You've got him with 3 seconds to go on. Nuts in May, starting now.
I don't...
Paul, come.
Hesitation.
No. You've got 2.5 seconds on Nuts in May, Fred. Starting now.
I don't think Nuts in May is about gathering...
Right. Well, you certainly have the audience's sympathy, Fred. You've got their point for speaking as the whistle went. You have leapt forward. But you're still in fourth place. Paul, it is your turn to begin. Daring do. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Wilbur and Orville Wright are credited as being the first men to fly in an aeroplane, and their attempts must have...
Graham Norton challenged.
Sort of came to ground.
Yes, he had a false landing. Graham, 52 seconds are available. You tell us something about Daring Do, starting now.
In my opinion, a Daring Do is a home perm. I also think Moira Stewart sports a particularly Daring Do. I wouldn't have the nerve, would you? And yet she goes on television. Gloria Hunniford is patron saint of all people interested in Daring Do's. I don't know what's on her head, possibly a small dog. I've never seen its face. She must go to the hairdressers and go, go on, I don't care. And this, to me, sums up irony. Gloria Hunniford recently...
I get repetition of that. Gloria Hunniford, I get repetition and people boo.
Well, Gloria Hunniford will be very upset that they...
No, actually, can I take this back? I like Gloria Hunniford. I do. You have lovely hair in the flesh. It's just TV lights affected. I don't know. Who
all. You have a correct challenge. Repetition. 5 seconds to go. Somebody gets in. Paul Derringdo starting now.
I suppose the man who was piloting the Titanic through the icebergs thought to himself...
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point, has increased his lead. And Jane Gibson, who is so lovely and such a help to me, but she is very nervous of her whistle. Jane, would you...
Is she not blowing to your satisfaction, Nicholas?
No, she's not. She can't rattle her pee in that machine, Bella. Jane, for the sake of... I've embarrassed the girl so much, and she really... Jane, we love you very much, but do try and give it gusto. Try once more for this audience. Give a blow and see what happens. Go on, you're lovely. She's shaking now, poor darling. Go on, give it a big blow. Go on. Go on, go on. Go on, give it gusto. Go on.
You've done this coaxing before, haven't you?
Go on, give it a big one. Go on, Jane. Go on. Go on, Jane. That's right. Graham Norton, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is... A fiendish mind. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
There is a fiendish mind at work in the world of publishing. As a lover of all things north of the border, it was some exciting...
Great challenge.
I'm not sure. What should I challenge you on, Graham? Hesitation, I think.
Yes, from English as we understand it, right. 50 seconds for you, Fred, on the subject of a fiendish mind, starting now.
I think everybody's probably got a little fiendish cell in their brain because not everyone decides that they're going to embark on a particular enterprise, but halfway along they may discover that they're veering towards a devilish endeavor. But I think that opposite and the other side of that thinking organ in...
Graham, challenge.
I was just giving him an option.
Yes. So, Fred Macaulay, you keep a fiendish mind and you have 31 seconds. They're still available to you. Keep going if you can, starting now.
I don't think Graham Norton's got a fiendish mind because he was being very charitable there, trying to help me out because I was gathering speed as I...
But he got in this time, and that was obvious.
Quite fiendish.
Yes, Graham, you've got the subject back of a fiendish mind, and there are 21 seconds available starting now.
It was with some excitement I purchased a magazine entitled Jock. But imagine my surprise when I got it home and discovered nary a Scottish person in it. The only sign of tartan was where one of the models had been sitting in a wicker chair.
Tim McCoy, challenge.
Did somebody interrupt me?
No, weren't interrupted, but I was just looking at the audience. They were all sort of working that out in their minds. Clement, you have a challenge. I didn't ask you what it was.
He hesitated.
He did indeed. 4 seconds for you on a fiendish mind starting now.
I think the author of Noddy probably had as fiendish a mind.
For the sake of our listeners, I must explain that extra loud cheer from the audience came for Jane Gibson for the way she blew her whistle then. And Clement Freud, you've moved forward. You're a little way behind Paul Merton, but ahead of the other two. And it's your turn to begin, Clement. The subject is dirty laughs. We don't have many of those in just a minute, but talk on the subject for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
The concept that you should have a different kind of laugh, depending on the nature of the joke, is one to which I don't subscribe, but let us try. There was this woman with huge boobs and a tiny brain.
Graham has challenged.
Repetition of ha.
Yes. Correct challenge. So, Graham, you have the subject. You have 44 seconds. You have dirty laughs, starting now.
Oh,
Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, yes.
Yes.
Paul Merton, you had a correct challenge of hesitation, 42 seconds. Tell us something about dirty laughs, starting now.
I think what Clement was saying is wrong. I think you can identify dirty laughs. For example, Sid James in many Carry On films was noted for his particular dirty laugh whenever Barbara Windsor bent over or laid back or opened her arms in a particularly suggestive manner. Undoubtedly, his laugh was a dirty one. Sometimes you would say to yourself, I can't imagine the Archbishop of Canterbury possessing a dirty laugh. You can't see him really giving service at Easter on a Sunday, perhaps, or even on Good Friday, turning to the congregation and going, nah. It's just not feasible that such a man of the cloth would behave in a manner...
So Paul Martin took the subject of dirty laughs right up to the whistle and got that extra point for doing so and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Paul, it's also your turn to begin. The subject, the face in the crowd. A dramatic subject. Tell us something about it. 60 seconds, starting now.
This year marks the 100th anniversary of Alfred Hitchcock, who, of course, was famous not only for making films of wonderful suspense, but also for his cameo appearances in those movies. His first appearance in front of the camera was the silent...
Clement Freud Challis.
Two appearances.
Yes.
Two appearances, yes. He only made one most of the time, but I'm just getting a note here. Right, thank you very much indeed. Right.
Go home. Go... Leave the building, don't look left or right, don't talk to anybody.
So, Clement, correct challenge. This watch is still going. Oh, we just have to guess how many seconds he'd gone for. We'll assume he went for 15 seconds.
I went for 15 seconds.
Right. So, Clement, you have 45 seconds for the face in the crowd, starting now.
If you were to go into a crowd and pick almost any face in whatever location you choose, you could get a chairman who would have all the quality of Nicholas Parsons and then some. That's about all I wish to say in this moment.
Full challenge.
Full stop, completion.
Full stop, which is Kerberos hesitation. So you two are going to have another go at me in the face in the crowd. And there are 28 seconds left, starting now.
In Psycho, you see him walking across the road as...
Between whom?
Fred McCoy. You wanted me to repeat Alfred Hitchcock?
Fred, you challenge.
He hesitated.
He did hesitate, yes.
Hang on a minute. Clement said to me, whom, in the middle of me speaking.
I know. So it stopped you in your tracks, did it?
It did, a little bit.
It did. Well, Paul...
As Clement knows full well.
Listen, Paul, as you're in a very strong lead, and we've lost count of all the seconds in this round...
Let's throw all the rules out the window.
And as Fred McCauley only guests when he's up here, we're up here in Scotland. And I say there's another 15 seconds to go.
Or so.
Let's just call it just a while.
Yeah. Has anybody got a calendar?
Let's finish, as we could, in true Glaswegian style, with a Glaswegian voice telling us something about the face in the crowd. 15 seconds, starting now.
It's a fair voice, Nicholas, but if I would like to say that there could be nothing more terrifying than only seeing one face in a crowd. Can you imagine?
Paul Merton Challis.
Well, it wouldn't be a crowd if you're going to see one face. But, I mean, if there's 1,700 people and there's only one face, that's terrifying.
Not at all. They could be looking the wrong way.
1,699 headless Fred, corpses.
Fred,
listen, you get your audience, I get my audience.
I think Fred has justified what he was saying. Yes. And you can look at a crowd and be so transfixed by one face, that's the only face you see. So in every respect, Fred, I think it was an incorrect challenge. And you keep the subject, and you have... 8 seconds available. The face in the crowd starting now.
Hello, can you get me the police, please? I've just seen a crowd and there's only one face. Yeah, they're in the King's Theatre.
So, Fred. Yes, you speaking as a whistle wind, you gained that extra point for doing so. You have moved even further forward. You're now in second place, but we're into the final round. And whose turn is to begin? It is Graham Norton. The final twist. Tell us something about the final twist, Graham. 60 seconds starting now.
In my school, we had a special dance to celebrate the end of the potato harvest. It's known as the Spud Hop. And we all remember the final twist at that. Miss Judy, the Irish teacher, I think she'd had a spritz or a glass of sherry, decided to venture onto the floor. Twist she did. Fell over like a dead cow. And she broke her leg. I know it sounds cruel, but we laughed. Forgive us, we were children. We were young. We didn't know. That was the final twist. The other good final twist is when you're opening a bottle.
And Fred McCauley's challenge.
Slight hesitation.
There are 17 seconds. You've got in, Fred, with a correct challenge, the final twist. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
I think it would be a complete nightmare if the final dance at a disco was a twist, because you're looking forward to a slow one. There could be nothing worse than ending an evening writhing and sweating beside a partner, barely able to speak because you were exhausted.
Cool challenge.
It was a hesitation.
I know it was a hesitation, and you cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go. Oh, look on Fred's face. He wanted to finish the show in style, but 2 seconds. The final twist is with you, Paul Merton, starting now.
In Alvin Hitchcock's Psycho, the final twist is that Norman Bates...
Well, that final twist was a final flourish in this particular edition of Just a Minute, and Paul Merton get that extra point for speaking as always went. The final situation for those interested in points, and they all contributed so much, but Graham Morton didn't get quite as many points as Clement Freud. Freud didn't get quite as many as Fred McCauley, but out in the lead, a few points ahead, was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are our winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to our four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Fred McCauley, Graham Norton, Clement Freud, to thank them, to thank Jane Gibson. And also, we thank the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and also our producer and director, that is Chris Neal. And we also thank this lovely, talented, extravagant audience here, the King's Theatre Glasgow, for cheering us on our way. We've had a wonderful time. Hope you've enjoyed it. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye.